Good morning. You are listening to Raven Radio. Today is Thursday, March 28th, 2013. I'm Holly Keene, and this is Raven News. In Sitka yesterday, the call went out on the VHF radio.
3, 2, 1, open. The Sitka Sound Sacro Fishery is now open. The Sitka Sound Sacro Fishery is now open.
Some 48 seiners went fishing for herring yesterday afternoon in the waters off Sitka. The first opening of Sitka's lucrative and fast-paced commercial herring fishery began at 3 p.m. and ended at 6.05 p.m. Catch data was not immediately available last night, but the fishing appeared to be slow going in the first opener. After nearly 2 hours of fishing, ADFNG management biologist Dave Gordon said on the VHF radio that the fleet had caught about 1,500 tons. Ultimately, the fleet hopes to catch more than 11,500 tons of herring. Sacro from herring is valued in the Japanese market. Last year's fishery brought in about $640 a ton off the boat. For fishermen, the 2012 herring season was worth about $8.5 million. The fishery area is between Beely Rock and McNaughty Island. Two different taxes paid by Southeast Alaska commercial purse seiners could be going down this year. The new taxes pay for operations at a Baranof Island chum salmon hatchery and to reduce the number of permit holders in the limited entry fishery. Joe Vicknicki reports.
Both taxes started up in 2012 for different reasons. A 3% assessment on all seine boat landings in the region will repay a $13 million federal loan that was used to retire 64 permits from the fishery. That's after the fleet approved a permit buyback last April. Mike Sturtevant is the buyback program manager with the National Marine Fisheries Service.
Of course, the salmon season starts in June, and by the time we tried to implement it as quick as we can to collect as much as we could, but we got the fee system off and running in late July, and just from that time through the end of the season, we collected about $1.4 million.
Repayment of that 40-year federal loan requires an annual payment for principal and interest of at least $721,000, so that first year's assessment netted well above that amount. Sturtevant says that fee rate will drop in 2013.
The fee rate will be lower than 3%. Again, I'm not sure what the exact rate will be yet, but we will soon be issuing, in the next, hopefully 30 to 60 days, Federal Register notice, which will publish what the rate will be.
Meanwhile, the fleet will not be voting this year on a second round of permit buybacks, despite an additional $10 million in loan money that remains for that purpose. An industry group called the Southeast Revitalization Association sought bids for other permit holders looking to sell, but did not receive enough interest. That second round of buyback could still happen in future years if the fleet approves. Meanwhile, 2012 was also the first year for a 20% tax on seine boats catching chum salmon near the Hidden Falls hatchery on Baranof Island. That assessment was a first in the state, used to fund the hatchery's operations. And it takes the place of the old system used for funding hatchery runs called cost recovery fishing. That's where a hatchery organization sells the catch from several contracted boats. Hidden Falls is owned by the Sitka-based Northern Southeast Regional Aquaculture Association, or NSARA, and General Manager Steve Reifenstuhl says the first year for the new assessment went well.
It was beautiful, really. I mean, it's what the majority of the seiners wanted. Was our first year, and it just came off without a glitch.
The assessment on seiners and trollers fishing in the area around the hatchery collected over $1.3 million through December, and that number could still increase as end-of-season bonuses are factored in, according to the state. Reifenstuhl says that money was more than expected.
What that $1.3 million does is it paid for the cost recovery that we needed in 2012, but it also built up a reserve fund for years when the forecast comes under what we expect. Last year, the forecast came in, or the actual run came in well above what we expected, so we generated more tax revenue than we expected.
NSARA wants that tax rate to remain at 20% this year. However, it's set by the state, and that rate proposed by the Department of Revenue's Tax Division is 17%, although that's not yet finalized. The Hidden Falls chums provide an early season opportunity for the seine fleet and take some pressure off of wild pink salmon runs in June and July. NCRA is forecasting 1.6 million chums will return this year. That would be up from last year, but still well below the highest returns the hatchery has seen over the past two decades. And that could be on top of a big pink salmon run expected for the panhandle, with Fish and Game forecasting a commercial catch of 54 million humpies in the region this summer. In Petersburg, I'm Joe Vicnicki.
Libraries are about more than books. They offer magazines, music, movies, and a place for quiet reflection, and especially in Ketchikan, art. The newest piece of art for the new Ketchikan Public Library building is an installation called A Trip to the Library. Artists Yvonne Zerbitz and Rich Stage were at the library after hours this weekend, working out the logistics of hanging the complex piece. KRBD's Layla Carey joined them and has this story.
Art isn't usually that noisy. Neither are libraries, for that matter. But once it's in place, the newly installed artwork will be quiet, albeit full of movement, both real and implied. The name of the piece, A Trip to the Library, is a play on words. It portrays a young man who's stumbled on his way out.
He has found so many books in this library that he wants to read that he has amassed this huge stack of books. And as he leaves, they are just flying through the air. We're going to be installing a number of mobiles, and I call this one the Stabile, a mobile that doesn't move. So there's a number of moving parts, and so there will be a number of elements coming around here and making a swirl.
Zerbitz and Stage knew they wanted a young man for the main sculpture. Zerbitz says she loves the Guys Read campaign that encourages reading among boys. The sculpture was modeled after a real person who agreed to endure, well, here's Zerbitz again to explain the process.
We used Andy Pankow for the head cast. He was he was incredible. He had rubber, I don't know how many pounds, like about 5 or 6 pounds of rubber and plaster on his head for 2 to 3 hours. And he was pretty amazing. I don't think very many people could do that.
Stage then sculpted the resin head cast so it doesn't really look like the model anymore. Stage, who was reluctant but not completely opposed to talking on the record, also created the metal frame skeleton for the piece, which isn't as heavy as it looks.
It's under a ton. It's all wire frame. It should probably weigh maybe 70 pounds.
We can lift him, but he's just awkward.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
His balance points are really crazy.
Yeah. So he's all hollow inside.
The main steel rod goes from the sculpture's foot to wrist, and those two points are bolted to either side of the library's main glassed-in entrance area. They built a replica of that entrance in Zerbitz's driveway to plan the piece out and make sure they had the dimensions right. The idea for the installation came out of a brainstorming session.
We were sort of going through the ubiquitous, you know, fish and birds, and, you know, we'd already done that, and we just wanted to do something really different, and Rich is always full of puns. He is amazing at putting together very witty words and ideas.
Zerbitz and Stage have collaborated before. One of those projects is an installation piece at Fawn Mountain Elementary School. That involves all kinds of flying creatures bursting out of pillars in the school's main corridor. That piece also had a lot of parts and required some interesting engineering to install.
We like it complicated. Actually, we don't really like it complicated. We just specialize in complicated.
Other art pieces already installed at the library include metal sculptures by the salvage divas Rhonda Green and Anne Fitzgerald, depicting Alaska's wildlife, and a colorful, whimsical fabric tree in the children's section. The tree was created by Anne Carlson, Sherry Henriksen, Jackie Kaiser, and Deb Turnbull. Another piece still to be installed is a carved Northwest Coast style medallion by master carver Nathan Jackson. In Ketchikan, I'm Layla Carey.
Alaska's senior U.S. senator says she's reviewing her stance on gay marriage. Senator Lisa Murkowski also says her views are evolving after opposing it. The state's residents in 1998 passed a constitutional amendment defining marriage as between one man and one woman. But Murkowski, a Republican, said there is a change in the country in how marriage is viewed. She says there are many issues the country is focused on. But she says she questions why there is such a focus on the simple right of people to love whom they will. U.S. Senator Mark Begich, a Democrat, said this week that he supports gay marriage, but Republican U.S. Representative Don Young does not. Representative Wes Keller wants to make sure every secondary school in the state teaches its students about the U.S. Constitution. House Bill 31 would require schools to develop curriculum segments on American constitutionalism. Keller says the bill would let superintendents decide the length and credit value of the course in their respective districts. Students who don't complete the course wouldn't be allowed to receive their diploma. An approved syllabus must ensure an understanding of the American constitutionalism through, quote, historical documents produced in the founding of our constitutional republic model of government. The bill was advanced by the House Education Committee on Wednesday. House Bill 31 now goes to the House Finance Committee. And that's all for Raven News. If you've missed any of our stories or would like to hear them again, please visit us online at kcaw.org. And a few station messages for you. The state satellite uplink is having reoccurring power outages, which causes Raven Radio's translator signals to drop out. The signal may have periodic outages for the next couple of days. Also, Raven Radio is in need of volunteers to answer phones and take donation pledges during our one-day spring drive on Friday, April 5th, from 6 a.m. to 8 p.m. If you have a few hours to help, please call Amy here at the station, 747-5877, to sign up. It's currently 33 degrees downtown at the Cable House, partly cloudy. Expect today highs around 42 with increasing clouds, northwest wind 10 miles per hour. Tonight, mostly cloudy with a slight chance of rain and snow late, lows around 33. You're listening to KCAW in Sitka.